Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Vav. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading. In this topic heading, we attempt to present the basic give and take of the Gemara, the sugya, before actually reading the Gemara text inside. So in this case, we have under our nosei heading the following: HaGemara Mevi'a Braisa Im Mekoros Mipsukim. The Gemara will bring a Tanaic source, a Braisa, with psukim in it that serve as sources, Shemalamdim Al Chiyuvim Shoinim Bavos Korbanoisov, that teach regarding different aspects, different obligations, different mitzvos that are connected with the bringing of one's sacrifices, one's vows and donations and dedications to the Beis HaMikdash. HaGemara Takshe. The Gemara will ask, the kamo michiyuvim elu kvar nilmedu mi mokoim acher. A number of the obligations that are mentioned in this source, the mitzvos, the chiyuvim that are associated with bringing korbanos that are mentioned here, were mentioned elsewhere. The lama li hakfilus, why is it necessary to have a double set of obligations? Umetaretzis, the Gemara will answer that we have two sets of obligations, chad l'omar v'lo hifrish. One regards someone who accepted upon himself to bring a sacrifice but didn't actually set it aside. That's similar to what we call a neder, where a person says, Hare olai lahovi korban ploni, where a person says, I accept upon myself the obligation to bring some type of korban. The chad and the other set of obligations that are accounted for in psukim are lahafrish velo hevi. That is with regard to someone who set aside a sacrifice but didn't actually bring it. And that we refer to by the term nidova, a voluntary offering, a dedication. We'll see later in the Gemara the difference between a neder and a nidova. In the case of a neder, a person doesn't accept personal responsibility in the event something runs afoul, whereas in the case of nidova, a person does. In the case of a neder, a person accepts personal responsibility, whereby if something runs afoul, he'll have to make good on his dedication, on his vow. Whereas in the case of a nidova, he does not. He simply dedicated a specific animal as a sacrifice without accepting personal responsibility. The Al-Kach HaGemara Tish'al, regarding this answer, the Gemara will then ask, Eich efshir lahamid echod min apsukim beneder, namely, Omar v'lo hifrish. How can you say that one of the sets of obligations found in one of the psukim is referring to the case of neder, bizman shebishnei hapsukim, when in both sets of psukim, both sets of rules that are found in two psukim, muskar nidova, the idea of nidova is mentioned. So that being the case, both psukim address the case of nidova, where a person set aside something. That's the case of hifrish velohevi. And therefore, once again, we're back to the question of kfilus, of two sets of rules, two psukim, that deal with the same topic of nedava. You can't say that one of the psukim is referring exclusively to neder when in both psukim nedava is mentioned. Umetaretzes, and the Gemara will answer, Demotsinu, we find the case of Omar Velo Afrish, where a person accepts responsibility, where he dedicates something without setting it aside. He accepts upon himself the obligation without setting it aside. That is Kain Nedava, that is like a case of Nedava. What did we say is characteristic of Nedava? We said that was where you designate an animal without accepting personal responsibility. So what's the case of Neder that's like Nedava? Ukagoin di Omar Hare Olai Almanas Shelo Eschayev Bachriyusa, where a person accepts upon himself the duty to bring a sacrifice without accepting responsibility if something goes wrong, if it gets lost or whatever. So what we've just done is we've gone through the give and take in the Gemara, which accounts for a significant section of the text on this Omid. So now let's turn to the Gemara itself. 10 lines from the top, Tonu Rabbonan. The Gemara opens with a brisa that quotes a Pasuk Dvarim, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Dalin. It's worth noting that this Pasuk comes on the heels of a Pasuk we spent a good deal of time with in our previous year, the Pasuk dealing with Baal Ta'acher, which was Pasuk Chof Beis. There, the Pasuk had said, Ki Sidor Neder Lashem Elokecho Lo Sa'achir Lishamo, Ki Dorosh Yidrashenu Hashem Elokecho Meimoch, V'hoye B'chochet. And we read it a little quickly, but we've recorded this Pasuk on the previous daf on the side. Here, we continue with Pasuk Chof Dalid, which also appears on the side, which reads, Moitzos Fosecha Tishmor, V'asisa kasher nodarto l'Hashem Elokecha nidava asher dibarta b'ficha. The gist of the pasuk is that which is uttered forth from your mouth, you must abide by and fulfill. And we'll see now that pasuk broken down into its various words and phrases and accompanying explanation. The Gemara. Moitzos fosecha, zu mitzvah saseh. That's reference to a positive command, that when you vow to bring something, you in a positive way must bring it. Tishmor, zu mitzvah loy saseh. That is a reference to a negative command, and Rashi adds the negative command being shaloy ta'acher, Rashi says, do not delay. That's a negative command. Do not delay in bringing your dedication, your sacrifice. The osisa azhora lebeisdin shiasucha. This is a command to Beisdin that they must force people to fulfill their vows. They have to oversee this. You notice we're underlining the quotes from the pasuk itself. Kasher nodarto ze neder Vashem Elokecha Elu Chatois Vashamos Oilos Ushlomim. And the expression Vashem Elokecha is coming to include not just things like neder, which are voluntary, but things that are obligatory, like these sacrifices. Chatos and Hashamos are sin offerings. Olos and Shlomim, we saw in our previous year, if you're referring to things that are obligatory, that would be an Oilas Re'iyah and Shalmei Chagiga, which are holiday obligated sacrifices. Nidava kimashma'o, as it implies, something that you voluntarily bring, and we'll see a little more about that later. Asher dibarta elu kodshei berek habayis. That's a reference to items that a person dedicated to the temple repair fund. Beficha zu tzedaka. That's an extra posuk. The word beficha is extra in this pasuk, and it's there to include tzedakah. So that when you look at this pasuk, you see that there's a mitzvah saseh, a positive command, a negative command, do not delay, and Basin has to oversee the bringing of these different kinds of sacrifices. Nidorim, Nidavos, Chatos, Hashamasos, Shlomim, and Berek Habayis dedications, and charity dedications. Omar Mar. Now we quote that which we had before. This comes from the beginning of the Brisa. A little star on the side helps you align it with that which was above. Moitzos fosecha zu mitzvas aseh. Lomo li. The Gemara asks a question. You'll note it, that this is a long question. And what the style of this Gemara is a little bit unusual, because what happens here is there are fragmented quotes, one after the other, from the source. And each time the same question, the same basic question is asked. That's why I have this classified as one long question. Why do we need the points in this source we just learned when those very points are taught in Psukim elsewhere? Hence, we end up with a double set of laws. So the first is referring to the Moitzas Fasecha Pasuk, claiming that it's a positive command. What do I need that for? Mi uvaso shama ve'vesem shama nafka. We learn that from a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, that you're obligated to bring your sacrifices. And that's a positive command. Tishmor zu mitzvah slosa. This is a quote from the source just above. And we said that the word tishmor teaches me that there is a negative command. Well, lomali, what do I need this negative command, namely do not delay? Miloi sachir l'shalmoi nafka. That was pasuk chof beis just before. What do I therefore need tishmor to tell me the same thing that we learned in pasuk chof beis? And finally, a third point, the asisa. That was from our Bryce above, the pasuk chof daled, azhara lebeis din shiasucha, a command, a warning to Beis Din that they have to oversee these matters. Lomali, what do I need that for? Mi yakriv oisoi nafka. I learned that from the expression yakriv oisoi, and this is explained a little further. Desanya yakriv oisoi. That is from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and that tells me, Malamed, it teaches shekoifen oisoi, that a person who has to bring a sacrifice, we will force him to bring the sacrifice. And of course, that is the charge of Beis Din. The court is charged with that. Yocho bal korcho. Well, if you're forcing him, does that mean against his will? Talmud lomar liritzoi noi. No, it has to be with his acquiescence. Ha ketzad, how do you resolve these two seemingly contradictory ideas? Kfiya is forced, and ritzono means willing. Koifen oisoi ad sheyoyma roitzani. We apply pressure to him until he comes around and says, I want to bring the sacrifice. This is the end of the long question. And the simply put, we seem to have duplication of teachings. Answer, and the answer lasts a number of lines. Chad de Omar velo Afrish. One is addressing a case where a person accepted upon himself to bring a sacrifice, but he didn't set it aside. He simply said, for example, Hare Olai, upon me, I am accepting upon myself to bring a sacrifice. The Chad Afrish velo Akriv. And the other is addressing a case where a person designated, he didn't say, I'm accepting upon myself an obligation, but he might have said Hare Zu. He said this is, he set aside, but he didn't bring it yet. So regarding these two cases, these two scenarios, we have the two sets of teachings that we just learned. Utsricha, and I need a separate set of laws for each topic. In other words, by telling me that there's a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah saloi saseh, and Beis Din must oversee this, etc., that applies to one example, I wouldn't be able to derive the other one from it. Now, why is that? Utsricha. I need both. De'i ashmin and omar velo afrish had, we taught the case of the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah loy saseh, the positive command and the negative command, and that Beis Din must supervise these matters. In the case of Omar v'lo Afrish, where a person accepted upon himself the obligation to bring, but didn't designate a sacrifice yet, he didn't designate an animal yet, mishum d'lo kaime l'dibure, because he's just said something and hasn't fulfilled what he claimed he would do. But a person who designated an animal, He simply didn't bring it yet to the Beis HaMikdash. I would have said on my own, Kol Hecha De'isei, wherever that animal is, Bei Gozo De'Rachmona Isei. It's already in the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. So, along these lines, we would say that there's really nothing lacking if a person had designated a specific animal. Namely, even if it's not in the Beis HaMikdash yet, wherever it is, it's considered as if it's in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash already. So there's nothing really more that the Pasuk has to insist need be done. Tzricha, therefore, in addition to telling me the laws regarding the Omar Velo Akrish case, I have to tell you regarding Akrish Velo Akriv as well. As we just said, I wouldn't have known it on my own, because on my own I would have come up with a different idea, namely that wherever it is, it's already considered in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'i ashmin an afrish velo akriv, and had we taught only that case of someone who had designated an animal as a korban but simply didn't bring it yet to the Beis HaMikdash, there I would say he's guilty of delay, and there's a mitzvah saseh regarding him, and Basin has to make sure he makes good on what he's done. To call mashi le gabe, he is otherwise delaying it by him. He hasn't physically brought it to the Beis HaMikdash yet. Avolomar velo afrish, but a person who merely said hare olai korban ola, I accept on myself, where he hasn't set aside anything yet. Ema dibura lo klumhu, I would have thought that that's mere speech, it's of no significance. Tzricha, therefore we need another set of teachings, that says that your speech is of significance and you better make good on it, and that is governed by a mitzvah saseh, a positive command to make good on what you've said, the obligation you've accepted on yourself, and there's a mitzvah lo yisaseh if you delay, and the court must oversee this as well. The Gemara asks, Umi motzis amris di omar velo afrish, how can you really say that one of these psukim, one of these sets of teachings is the case of omar velo afrish, meaning where a person simply accepted upon himself to bring a sacrifice but didn't set it aside yet. V'ha nidava ksiva. The word nidava appears in both contexts. First of all, it appears in the pasuk we quoted most recently, Dvarim Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet, where the word nidava appeared explicitly. And it's also understood, even though it's not explicit, but it's also understood in the pasuk of Baal Ta'achir, where it said, Lo ki sidor neder, and through a gzera shava, and this we learned in a previous shiur, through a gzera shava, nedava was to be understood in pasuk of Chav Beis, which dealt with the Baal Ta'achir as well. So nedava appears in both cases. That being the case, so how can you say that one of the sources is dealing with the situation of Omar Velo Afrish, where that's not a Nedava? Utnan, and here the Gemara brings a source that highlights the uniqueness of Neder and the uniqueness of Nedava, what each one is. A zehu neder. What is a case of neder? Ha'oimer hare olai oila. I accept upon myself to bring an ola. V'a zohi nedava. Ha'omer hare zu oila. Now that is not a case of omar velo afrish. By designating an animal, that is afrish. That's a case where you are mafrish and you haven't maybe brought it yet, but Uma bein neder l'nedav. What's the difference between saying hare olai versus saying hare zu? Answer, neder, meso nignav chayev bachriyuso. In the case of a neder, where a person accepted upon himself the obligation of bringing, if something happens, if it dies or it gets stolen, chayev bachriyuso means you are obligated to make good on it, to replace it. Nedava, meso o nignava, eno chayev bachriyuso. In the case of nedava, though, if it dies or is stolen, you don't have to make good on it. You haven't insured it, so to speak. So the question is, just to repeat, how can you say that one of the two sets of sources that we mentioned above is dealing with the case of Omar Velo Afrish, when in both of the sets of obligations of sources we saw above, Nedava is mentioned, and Nedava is clearly not a case of Omar Velo Afrish? Omar Rava. So Rava answers Mishkachas law. You can actually have a case of Omar Velo Afrish, and it's like Nedava. What did we say is unique to Nedava? We said concerning Nedava, it's something that you don't have a personal obligation to make good on. Well, Kigon, the Omar, Hare Olai Oila, Almenas She'eni Chayev Bachriyusa. A person who used the Omar Velo Afrish formula. He said, Hare Olai, I'm accepting upon myself to bring an Ola, but on condition that I'm not obligated if something eventually goes wrong. I'm not accepting on myself the obligation to make good on it, to replace it. And now we continue with a new topic, and on the side we have a nosei topic heading, which reads Din Bal Ta'acher Bitzdoka. We'll deal with the issue of one who vowed to give charity, and the issue of delay, the prohibition of delaying with regard to that type of vow. Or we say, maybe you want to use the word pledge. Omar Rava, Utztoka Mechayev Alo La'altar. With regard to tztoka, if a person pledges to give tztoka, he is immediately subject to the Isser of Baal Ta'achir. In other words, if a person pledges to give tztoka, he must do so immediately. And if he doesn't, he will be guilty of Baal Ta'achir, of delaying. My taima, why by tztoka is this accentuated or heightened level of urgency? Answer, the hakaimi aniyim, because unfortunately the poor are right here, they are present, and as such it is something that you can in fact fulfill immediately. The Gemara asks, pshita, of course, why would you think otherwise? If a person pledges to give charity, you must do so immediately. There's nothing Beis HaMikdash related here where you would think it ties into your appearance in the Beis HaMikdash during the holidays. All the details that we've learned regarding standard Baal Ta'achir by sacrifices, this is clearly different. So why do I need Rava to tell me that which is Pshita, that which is obvious? Mahu detema, without Rava, I would have thought, Kevon de be'inyona de korbonos ksiva, since the reference to tztoka, the reference to charity, is in a posuk whose main topic is that of Beis HaMikdash sacrifices, I would have thought the same standard should apply to it, simply because of its contextual reference. So I would have thought, Adi Avri Allah Shloisha Regolim Ki Korbanos, that there's no Baal Ta'achir until you have the passage of three holidays, like we say, by sacrifices. Komash Malon, therefore we tell you otherwise. Hosam Hu Detalinu Rachmona Beregolim, with regard to sacrifices which you have to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's dependent upon holidays. And we saw the different references to Baal Ta'achir being tied into the holidays. The pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, where in Parshas Re'eh, that is, in Sefer Dvorim, where the reference to B'chag HaMatzos, V'chag HaShavuos, V'chag HaSukkos was referenced, a seeming extra pasuk. And from that we learned the dinim of Baal Ta'achir, and that's with regard to the sacrifices and the need to bring them before the passage of the holidays. So there the Torah, with regard to Korbanos, the Gemara made them dependent on holiday passage. Aval hocha, lo, but here in the case of charity, not so. Da shrichi aniyim. Unfortunately, aniyim, shrichi means they're common. And therefore, you must make good on your pledge immediately. Oma rova. Another topic heading accompanies this section. On the side, we've noted Dino Shel Rava, another Din of Rava, Kevon She'ovar Olov Regel Echad, Vadayim Lohevi Nidro, Oiver Be'asei. With the passage of one holiday, and still not having brought your sacrifice, which you vowed to bring, you are in violation of a positive command. The negative command, granted, that you're not in violation of that until three holidays go by. But the positive command to make good on your vow, that is considered violated if you don't do so by the first holiday after your vow. The Gemara, Omar Ravo, Kevon She'ovar Olov Regel Echod, Oiver Ba'asei, by the passage of one holiday, the first holiday after your vow, you will already be in violation of a mitzvah saseh. The pasuk is quoted by Rashi, Uvosu Shoma Vehevesem. When you come to the Beis Hamikdash, you have to bring the sacrifices. Meisve, the Gemara asks a question. It lasts a number of lines. And from this question, we'll see that it doesn't seem like Rava says that there's such urgency that by the first holiday you have to bring it in order to not be in violation of the positive command. Heyid Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Papias. They testified, these two Rabbonan testified, Al Vlad Shlomim, Sheyikrav Shlomim. If a person had a Korban Shlomim, a female Korban Shlomim, he set her aside as a sacrifice while she was pregnant, or it became pregnant after he had sanctified the animal as a Shlomim, the offspring must be offered likewise as a Korban Shlomim. Omer of Papias, Ani Meid, I testify, Shoisalanu Porashal Zivchei Shlomim, we had a cow. Obviously, he lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, we had a cow that was dedicated as a Shlomim, V'achalnu Pesach, and we ate it on the Pesach holiday, V'achalnu Vlada Shlomim B'chag, and we ate its child, its offspring, its Vlad, which has to be a Korban Shlomim also, we ate it b'chag. Now, chag, superficially, when you see chag, usually it means sukkis. So what happened in this story? The mother, they ate on Pesach. The Vlad, granted they didn't eat the Vlad on Pesach, we'll explain that, doesn't present a problem for us, but why didn't they eat it by, if Rav is correct, why didn't they eat it by Shavuos, which is the first holiday that comes after this animal is born. Bishlamo b'Pesach lo akruvuha. Granted that on Pesach they didn't offer the Vlad, the newborn, Amor de mechuser zman have. It's lacking in time. Lacking in time is a literal translation, but let us explain. Sacrifice cannot be brought as such if it's a newborn until it reaches 8 days of life. It has to be, you can't bring a sacrifice of an animal before it's reached its eighth day. So the story describes them having eaten the mother on Pesach. We can assume that mother animal had very recently given birth, so that it's still the offspring is still within its first 8 days of life. So it can't be brought on Pesach whatsoever. That's the idea of mechuser zman. It's missing in time. Elav lada be'atzeres hechi mashi lo vi'avri alei be'asei. But the vlad be'atzeres is regarding shavuos. How can they delay it if Rava is correct and thereby violate the positive command of bringing it? So this brings... Now, obviously, they did delay. They didn't bring it Shavuos. They brought it on Sukkos. So that would show that Rava's din is not correct. Hence the question. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Zvid, and we note this is number one. There are a couple of answers. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. Rav Zvid quotes Rava and says, Kegoin, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Shehoya Choyle Batzeres. The Vlad in this story involving Rapapius was sickly on Atzeres, and therefore they couldn't bring it as a sacrifice. So they're, generally speaking, you must bring it the first holiday after it becomes a sacrifice, in the case of a Vlad of the Shlomim after it's born. But if it's sickly, so you wait and bring it the next immediate opportunity. As far as a source for a sickly animal as being unacceptable as a sacrifice, Tosfos at the top quotes that from a Mishnah in Maseches Bechoros, that they are unfit, sickly animals are unfit to bring as sacrifices. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar, Mai v'ochanu v'lodo shlom b'chag dikotoni. What is meant by that which was featured in the source with Rabbi Papias? He says, and we ate it b'chag as a shlomim. You know what chag means? Chag ha-shavuos. That is a reference to the holiday of Shavuos. In other words, they did do just like Rava said. They brought it immediate. They brought the Vlad immediately at the first holiday that they could, in order not to violate the Asay. The Idoch, that's a reference back to Rav Zvid, who did not give this answer. What does he say about that, about the answer that Rav Ashi just gave? Kol echa de toni Pesach toni Atzeres. Whenever you see a source that makes reference to Pesach and wants to refer to the holiday of Shavuos, the word Atzeres will appear, not the word Chag. Therefore, according to Rav Zvid, the Chag is a reference to Sukkos and not to Shavuos. The Omar Rava. Now, on the side, we have a topic heading, and we've written Oid Din Shel Rava, another halach of Rava, Kevon She'avri Olav Shloish Regolim. When a person has vowed to bring a sacrifice and he allowed three holidays to go by, the whole Yoim V'Yoim Oiver B'Bal Tacher. Every day that goes by, he is amassing another sin, so that every day he is accumulating an additional sin of delay. The Gemara, the Omar Rava, Kevon She'avru Olav Shloish Regolim. Once three holidays have gone by and he hasn't brought his sacrifice yet, the vow that he pledged to bring, Bechol Yoim V'Yoim Oiver B'Bal Tacher. Every day that goes by, he is in violation of Baal Ta'acher. Now, as we go on, you see the use of a triangle that appears in alternating directions. This is what we call, and we have under our Mivneh heading, the structural note. The triangle here is presented as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track, with the point facing upwards. They represent kushos, and the inverted one are tshuvos, responses. So we must follow the give and take. Meisvei. We have a source. It says, Echad b'chor ve'echad kol ha'kotshim. whether you're dealing with a new firstborn male animal or other sacrifices, all other sanctified animals that are brought as sacrifices, kevan she'avru aleihem shana below regalim, or regalim below shana, oiver bebal ta'acher. According to this Tana, the iser, the prohibition of delay of Baal Ta'acher, can be violated in one of two scenarios. One scenario is where a year goes by, even though a series of three holidays have not gone by, or a case of the holidays having gone by, even though a full year has not gone by. So we just read a source that deals with the Isser of Baal Ta'acher. And this is brought as a question on Rava. What did Rava say? Rava said that when three holidays go by, so you're in violation of Baal Ta'acher every single day. The Gemara asks, V'hai mai tufte? How is this source a refutation of Rava? Where in this source does it say that you're not over every day? Amar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana reinstates the question and shows how the source is a problem for Rava. Man de komoisiv shapir komoisiv. He who raised this source as a question does so accurately, does so well. Shapir means in a good way, an accurate way. Michti, and he goes on to explain. Let's look into this. Tana a lavi ka mahader. This Tana is apparently interested in showing different ways of violating. Lavi is the plural of the word lav, negative command. So the Tana is trying to enumerate different ways of violating the negative command. So he's interested in maximizing, we'll say, the different lav possibilities. Well, if that is what his agenda is, listeni, so add this information too. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim, oiver b'baal ta'acher. If Rava was correct, then the Tanaic source should have recorded this as well, and it doesn't. Well, that poses a problem for Rava. V'idach, and the other opinion, in other words, the opinion that doesn't see any problem for Rava from over here, why is it that this isn't a good point? So he explains, and the inverted triangle shows you how this is a response to defend Rava against the questions. So he explains, as far as the source is concerned, Tana lemikbe'e belav ka mahader. Belavi yeseri lo ka mahader. This Tana had a specific agenda, and that's lemikbe'e belav. Rashi says three lines from the top, lehodiacha kol tzidei zman hascholas baal ta'acher sheboi. All this Tana was interested in doing was showing us at what point does the prohibition of baal ta'acher kick in. And as far as that is concerned, there are two possibilities when it kicks in. Either a year has gone by even though the holidays have not gone by, or the three holidays have gone by without a full year going by. At either one of those two points in time, so Baal Ta'acher kicks in. However, the Tana was not interested in showing us the multitude of negative commands that he might be in violation of. So as far as we are concerned, Rava's point remains intact, that once the period of time designated for Baal Ta'acher to kick in lapses, he will then be in violation of delay of Baal Ta'acher every day that goes by and he hasn't yet brought his sacrifice. Gufa. We now quote the source that we just had seen in the Gemara that was brought in to challenge Rava. Now we're going to quote it again, but analyzing it on its own merit. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written, Hesber, we have to explain, Eich Yitochein, Hodekotoni, how can you have a situation of Shona Belo Regolim? A full year goes by, and in that span of time, you don't have three holidays, the Shloshu Regolim. And yet, that's what it says. Gufa. Echot b'chor v'echot kol akotchim, whether it's an issue concerning a firstborn male animal that has to be brought as a sacrifice, or other kotchim, other types of sacrifices. Kevan she'ovru aleim, shona below regolim, regolim below yishona, oive b'bal tacher. Whether a year has gone by without experiencing three holidays, or the three holidays have gone by without experiencing a year, he is in violation of Baal Tacher. Bishlamo regolim b'loy shona mishkachas lo. As far as the passage of three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, without a full year going by, that's very easy to understand. That is exactly what happens. If you count the holidays, Pesach is the month of Nisan, and Sukkot is by the month of Tishrei, so you've gone through 6 months. Pesach in Nisan, Iyar Sivan, in Sivan you have Shavuos, Tammuz of Elul Tishrei, you have the holiday of Sukkot. So we haven't gone through a whole year, but you have experienced three holidays. So that is the standard case of Baal Tacher. So that's easy to understand. Ela shana b'loy regalim hechi mishkachas lo. But the case of a year without having three holidays go by, how can that B. Now here we have a fairly elaborate marking system using making extensive use of brackets. And what I mean by that is we'll call it a longer bracketed section, and then there's an internal bracketed section that will come up. And we will try to map things out right now. The question the Gemara asked was, how do you have a case of Shana Beloy Regolim, a year going by, and in that span of a year, you don't have the passage of three holidays? Skipping the bracketed section momentarily brings you to the answer. Use your bracket length indicator, and you see you come to a point in the Gemara where it says, Kidetoni Rav Shmaya. We can illustrate the case based on the teaching that we find in the name of Rav Shmaya. So there you go. Question, following the brackets. Answer, very simple. However, that's not the end of the story. First of all, let us glance at the note that we have on the side where the starred note appears. We've written as follows. So Graham, the brackets Marim, they show the Ad Kan Iker Akusha. That up till this point is the basic question of how do you have a case of Shana Belo Regolim? B'soicham ha-Gemora Masbira, within the brackets, the Gemara will explain the Kushya Zu Eino Koshe L'chol Hadeos. It's not a question that poses a difficulty across the boards. In other words, according to certain opinions, this is not a problem. In other words, it's very easy to imagine a year going by without the regolim standard resulting in Baal Ta'acher. That's what you see immediately at the beginning of the bracketed section. Let's read it. Honicho means there is, it's pleasant, it's easy, it's comfortable. That there is no question, Leman de Is Le Kesidron. The issue of Baal Tacher, and this of course we saw extensively at the beginning of the Masechta, that Baal Tacher is not in one is not in violation of Baal Tacher until the three holidays go by in their formal official order, Pesach being the first, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in that order. So that with the passage of three holidays in and of themselves, if they're not in that order, he still won't be in violation of Baal Ta'acher. So mishkachas law means you can have a case of a shana below regolim because the regolim requirement is according to this opinion, is the regolim must appear in order. And therefore, imagine a fellow who made a neder before the holiday of Shavuos. When will he be in violation of Baal Ta'achir? Well, as far as the holiday standard is concerned, he won't be in violation until more than a year goes by. You would have, if he vowed before Shavuos, and then Sukkot, and then Pesach, and Shavuos again, and he still is not in violation, even though he's reached Shavuos the year later, he's still not in violation because he has to wait till Sukkot is for the regolim standard to operate. So the source tells us that according to the halachas about ta'achir, you are in violation even if a year goes by without the holidays having gone by. So as far as the teaching of the source is concerned, can you have a year without the holidays going by? Yes, a year can go by without having the holidays going by kesidron, and this person being in violation. As we just gave an example, someone who vowed to bring a korban and he made his vow before the holiday of Shavuos, a year will go by before the holidays go by in order, and he will, by virtue of the fact that a year goes by, he'll be in violation of Baal Ta'achir. Elolaman de lesle kesidron hechi mishkachas law. But according to the opinion, those opinions other than Rabbi Shimon, the opinion that says three holidays, even if they don't go by in order, how can you have a case, hechi mishkachas law, a year? How can you have a year without three holidays within that year? Now, you'll notice we have an angular brackets. The angular brackets sets off Rebbe. It says in this, and you see the angular brackets begins with the expression Bishlamo LeRebbe. So, as far as Shitas Rebbe is concerned, that we haven't seen yet, but he doesn't present a problem. If you skip the angular brackets momentarily, you'll see that we pick up Elo LeRabbonon Hechi Mishkachas Law. But according to the Rabbonon, and of course, you should always use the bracket length indicator. Don't spend time looking for where the bracket closes. And so here you have a vertical dotted line on the, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And you can see that right after it, the question picks up. And that is, according to the Rabbonon, Hechi Mishkachas, so how can you have a case of a year going by without three holidays going by, in order to justify the source that says Shana Bala Regalim? Anytime a year goes by, within the year you've got the three holidays. And of course we're working with the opinion that you don't need them to go by in order to be in violation of Baal Ta'achir. So the Gemara eventually will answer Kidetoni Rav Shmaya. According to the Rav Shmaya method, we will then find out how that works. How you can have a year without three holidays. Having mapped out the structure, we go back to the point we left off with, Bishlamo LeRebbe. As far as Shitas Rebbe is concerned, and by the way, we have a note, there's a triple star, there's a note on the side, Sograyim Elu, the angular brackets, Boim Levodeid Es Rebbe, to isolate Rebbe, the Lefiv Ein Koshi Lahazbir Shana Below Regom. We're not going to have any trouble explaining the idea of three holidays not having gone by, and a year, yes, has already gone by. So let's see. Bishlamo LeRebbe, the Gemara says, and we highlighted Rebbe and the Rabbonin in diamonds so we can see them contrasted with one another. According to Rebbe, Mishkachas Lo Bishana Muberes, you can have a Metzias, a situation of a year without holidays, in the case of a Jewish leap year. In the case of a Jewish leap year, an extra month, the month of Adar, is added. Always have in mind the list of months. For those of you who haven't yet memorized them, we have them at the Daf Beis. We included a list of months: Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar. And we're going to talk about a case of an added Adar. So after Shvat, there appears two Adars, and then Nisan, which also has in it the month, the holiday of Pesach. Now, according to Rebbe, you can have a year without three holidays in it. And that is assuming a scenario of a leap year. And one main piece of information we haven't added yet, we'll see it in a moment, but let's say it before we see it in the text. According to Rebbe, a shana, a year, is defined in terms of a solar year, familiar to many of us as the secular calendar. I'm not sure why it's referred to as a secular calendar, because the solar year is a Jewish concept, as Jewish as you can get. You can see it right over here in our Gemara. A solar year is a period of 365 days. According to Rebbe, a year, when you see the term shana, that term means 365 days, a solar year. Can a year go by, or more accurately, can 365 days go by without that unit of time containing three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot? The answer is yes, it can. How can that be? Well, if you assume for a moment that a person makes a vow, and we're dealing with a situation of a leap year, imagine a person, just one more statistic that you should be familiar with before we give the example. The length of time of a Jewish leap year, where we add a month, we have a 13-month year, the length of time of that Shana, we call Shana Muberes, is 383 days. That's, how do we get to that number? Because if you multiply 6 times 29 and 6 times 30, you will get to 354. The numbers we just gave are the numbers, the length of each month. They're 12 months in a standard year. Some are, of course, if we're talking about the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, some months are 29 days in length, some months are 30 days in length. So we take 6 of the 12 months, 29 days, 6 of the 12 months, 30 days. You get to a total of 354 days. When you have a leap year, you're adding another month of 29 days in length, giving you 383. What did we do? We took 354 and added 29, giving you 383. Now that you know that, and you also know that Rebbe's definition of a shana is 365 days, imagine a person vows to bring a sacrifice, and he utters his vow, he enunciates his vow on the day after the holiday of Pesach. And as the year goes on, by the time, we'll say, next year rolls around, there will be a second Adar. That's called the leap year scenario. So when you're going from the day after Pesach, start counting 365 days. What will happen? So we're starting the day after Pesach. So what's the first holiday that comes up? Shavuos. After that, Sukkot. keep counting, keep moving ahead in time. You will reach the 365 day mark before you arrive at Pesach of next year. So how many holidays have gone by for this person who vowed right after Pesach? Only two holidays have gone by, Shavuos and Sukkot. He will reach Shana, 365 days, without having experienced a third holiday. There you go. That's a Shana below Regolim. Now that analysis works out according to Rebbe, who holds that a Shana is defined in terms of a solar year. Now we continue in the Gemara. Desanya. Shana Tamima. This is a Pasuk, and just by way of background, the Pasuk is referring to a case of someone who sold a house in a walled city, a city that was walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, the time the Jews entered the land of Israel. Houses in walled cities have a special set of halachas that apply to them, and very briefly, the halacha says that if someone sells a house in a walled city, he can force the purchaser to sell it back to him if he does so within a year. But if a year lapses and the original owner doesn't make a move, then he cannot insist on the house being sold back to him. We just said a year, he has a year in which to operate, in which to force a resale. Shana Tamima, the Pasuk says. Rebbe Omer, Moine Shloish Meyes Vishishim Chamisha Yoim Kaminyan Yemoisachama. The original owner counts 365 days, and within that time period, so he can force a resale, but once 365 days go by, he can no longer force a resale of the house. But what do we see from here? We see that a Shana is measured in terms of Yemoisachama, the days of the sun, meaning a solar year. Vachachomim Omrim, the Chomim have a totally different approach to the law regarding Bote Rechoma, and what does Shana Tamima mean for them? Moina Shtemesre Chodesh Miyoim Liyoim, you count 12 months day from the day of the sale to that same date next year. So if you sold your house Aleph Nisan, you can force a resale as long as you do so before Aleph Nisan of the next year. The im nisabro shana nisabro, if the year is lengthened by a month, so it's to the benefit of the original owner that he has 13 months in which to force the resale. So mishkachas law le Rebbe, we find, according to Rebbe, the case of Shono below Regolim, a year without holiday, without the three holidays going by. The Akdisha Bosar Chag HaMatzos. Imagine someone sanctified as a sacrifice an animal right after Pesach. That's, we're talking here about someone in the month of, technically speaking, the 22nd of the month of Nisan. The Chimota Shilhi Ador Basro, by the time the end of next Ador comes by, the Chimota means by the time arrives Shilhi, the end of Ador Basro, the second Ador, because we're dealing, as we said, with a leap year, a second Ador is added. By the time the end of the second Ador comes about, Shana Malyo, he's experienced 365 days, Regolim Lo Molu, but three holidays have not gone by. As we said, only Shavuos and Sukkot have gone by, and Pesach has not been celebrated yet. And at that point, that 365 days have gone by, he will be in violation of Baal Ta'achir. So far, we are saying that Shana below Regolim is a concept that can be understood according to Rebbe. Elo le Rabbonon hechi mishkachas lo, but according to the Rabbonon who hold that Baal Ta'achir is violated by the passage of three holidays, and the Rabbanan define a year by the standard lunar year, how do you have a year without three holidays in it? And the fact that you have a leap year, according to Rabbanan, doesn't make a difference. That's still considered within the year. The Gemara answers, Kidetoni Rav Shmaya. Based on Rav Shmaya's source, we will be able to imagine a case of a year without three holidays. And again, I know it might sound a little repetitious, but when dealing with the Rabbanan, they don't deal with the solar year. They deal with the standard Jewish lunar year, that you count a year from day to the same date next year. So that if, for argument's sake, you have someone vowing to bring a sacrifice on the 6th of Sivan, that next year, the 6th of Sivan, will be the completion of the year. On the side of our Gemara, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic heading, Machloikes Eich Koivim HaChodoshim Beluach. How do we set up a calendar by way of the months? Rav Shmaya, according to Rav Shmaya, Yitochein Shiyu Kamo Chodoshim Chaserim Oimuleim Beretzef. According to Rav Shmaya, you could have back-to-back short months, alternatively back-to-back long months. What do we mean by short months, long months? A short month is a 29-day month. A long month is a 30-day month. So according to Rav Shmaya, you can have successive Malayim or complete full months, 30-day months, or Chaserim, 29-day months. There's another Shita that we'll see a little bit later, the Shita of the Achirim. The Achirim hold that the calendar must be alternating 29 and 30-day months. Always alternating. One Mole, one Chaser. One Mole, one Chaser. That's the Shita Achirim, which we'll get to a little later. What we're focusing on right now is the problem of Shona below Regolim according to the Rabbanan. And the Gemara answers, Kidetoni Rav Shmaya, based on his teaching. Well, let's see, what does he tell us? Atzeres. Atzeres is the holiday of Shavuos. Now the holiday of Shavuos, let it be known, does not have a calendar date in the Torah. This is in contrast to all the other holidays. Pesach, we know, is the 15th of Nisan. Sukkot, we know, is the 15th of Tishrei. Yom Kippur, we know, is the 10th of Tishrei, etc. Shavuos does not have a calendar date. All the Torah tells us about Shavuos is that it comes out 50 days after Pesach. And we're explaining things in general terms. Maybe you're familiar with the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, where we count 49 days, 7 weeks, and that counting starts on the second day of Pesach. Following those 49 days, the 50th day, after the second day of Pesach, that is Shavuos. So there's no calendar date. All it is, it's a function of counting 49 days and the 50th day being Shavuos. So what's the actual calendar date of Shavuos? So Rav Shmaya has this source and it says as follows, Atzeres Pa'omim Hey, sometimes it could be the 5th of Sivan, Pa'omim Shisha, sometimes the 6th of Sivan, Pa'omim Shiva, sometimes the 7th of Sivan. Ha'ketzad, how could that be? Maybe before we go on, some people might be confused and thinking, how could there be any doubts? How can you have changing of dates? Don't we have a calendar? Just look at the calendar. So here you're dealing with a situation in the time of the Tanoim. There wasn't a fixed calendar, and things could be adjusted here and there without getting into any further details. I think that just needed to be said for anyone who might have thought otherwise. We just said in the source that the holiday of Shavuos doesn't have a fixed date. It could be on the 5th, could be on the 6th, and could be on the 7th of Sivan. HaKetzad, well, how do you explain that? Answer, Shnehem Malayin. If the months, 2 months it says, the two of them are full. It's a reference to the months of Nisan and Iyar. If they are both 30-day holidays, 30-day months, that is. So if you make the calculation, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritties of the calculation, but if you have two, we'll call them full months, Nisan and Iyar, the holiday of Shavuos will come out on the 5th of Sivan. Once again, you have to count basically 50 days from Pesach to get to Shavuos. So if you're going to be spending, spending a lot of time in the month of Nisan, the month of Iyar, by virtue of the fact that they are long months, so Shavuos will come out on the 5th of Sivan. Shnehem Chaserim, if the months of Nisan and Iyar, Pesach comes out in the month of Nisan, which is followed by the month of Iyar, and following that is the month of Sivan. So if the 2 months, Nisan and Iyar, are Chaserim, if they're both merely 29-day months, so then Shiva, then the holiday of Shavuos will come out on the 7th of Sivan, because once again, Shavuos comes out 50 days after Pesach. So being that the interim months, named Nisan and Iyar, are short in time, you're going to be eating into Sivan a little more. You're going to get to the 7th of Sivan and then celebrate Shavuos. Echod molei v'echod chaser, shisha. If of the 2 months, Nisan and Iyar, one is a 30-day month, is molei, and the other one is a chaser, is a 29-day month, in that scenario, so Shavuos will come out on the 6th of Sivan. Now let's take all that information process this information, and now explain the main point. You can have a case of a Shana below Regalim, given a case that you have two Malayim, that you have two complete months, that's Nisan and Iyar, 30-day months, and that will cause Shavuos to come out on the 5th of Sivan. And now our subject, our fellow, comes along and sanctifies a sacrifice the day after. What day is that? The 6th of Sivan. The next year, it turns out that both of those months, Nisan and Iyar, are chaserim. What happens when you have that case? Shavuos comes out on the 7th of Sivan. Ah, but this vow taker's year ended when? On the 6th of Sivan. Remember, he had taken his initial vow on the 6th of Sivan, the day following that year's Shavuos. The next year's Shavuos, by virtue of the fact that Nisan and Iyar were chaserim, is going to fall out only on the 7th of Sivan. He completes his year by the 6th of Sivan. Shavuos, being the third holiday, doesn't come out till the next day. So what have we described? We've described the person that took his vow in, we'll call it year one, on the 6th of Sivan, day after Shavuos. What goes by then with this guy? Sukkot, Pesach. When is Shavuos going to come out? On the second year, on the 7th of Sivan. When does his year finish? The day before. So he's only gone through two holidays, and a year has already completed. There you go. A case of Shana below Regalim, even according to the Rabbanan. So the source above makes perfect sense. We continue in the Gemara. Uman Tana de Polig Olei de Rav Shmaya. Rashi makes reference to a Tanakama, so that there is another Tanaic authority that disagrees with Rav Shmaya's approach. And as we said before, Rav Shmaya's approach suggests that you can have successive mole months and successive choser months, as we just explained. And who is the Tana that disagrees with that approach to setting up a calendar? Answer, Achirim hi. That is the shita, the opinion of the Achirim. The Sanyo Achirim Omrim, Ein bein atzeres latzeres, Ein bein Rosh Hashanah l'Rosh Hashanah, Ela arba yomim bilvad. Vim hoiso shona muberes chamisha. This source, in my opinion, is very vague just by looking at the words. However, by adding explanation, things will become much clearer. Ein bein, the source is, began by saying, Ein bein atzeres latzeres. Atzeres is shavuos. Very simply, if shavuos on year one comes out on a Sunday, on year two, it's going to come out 4 days later. So you'd have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's called a gap of 4 days. If you're not going to count inclusive, of course. So that if on any given year, when you know the day of the week on which a holiday falls out, that same holiday will fall out 4 days later the next year. That's what he means here when it says there's no the gap between Shavuos of 1 year to the next, or the gap between Rosh Hashanah of 1 year to the next is 4 days. Now, we can explain this. It's a very simple calculation. The opinion of the Achirim, and we mentioned this before, is that you have 12 months. They are always an alternating 29-30, 29-30 situation. So how many 29-day months you're going to have? If they're alternating, so you're going to have 6 29-day months, and you'll have 6 30-day months. Well, 6 times 30, that's easy. That's 180. 6 times 29... Well, it'll be 6 less, because instead of doing 6 times 30, you're doing 6 times 29. So it'll be 6 less, so it's 180. Instead of that, it's 174. What's 180 and 174? 354. How long is a year, as far as the Achirim is concerned? 354 days. So that at any point in the year, if you're dealing with the holiday of Shavuos, so you mark that off as your beginning point. 354 days later will be the next Shavuos. The number 354 is divisible by 7 with remainder 4. 350 divided by 7 is an even number. 50. 50 times 7 is 350. Remainder 4. That remainder 4 is what accounts for this 4-day gap. The source added that if it's a leap year, then there will be a 5-day gap. And that, too, we can explain quite easily. The leap year is a function of adding a month of Adar. When you add a month of Adar to a year, you're going to be adding a 29-day month. 29 is also a number that's divisible by 7 with remainder 1. 29 divided by 7 gives you 4. 4 times 7 is 28. Remainder 1. So by sticking in an extra month to a year, you're in effect pushing things ahead by 1 day in this scheme of things. As we said earlier, in fact, you would have 383 days. And just take 383 and divide that by 7. You get 54. That's 54 weeks with a remainder of 5. Because 383, as we say, divides by 7. We say there's 54 days, and that gives you, as we said, a remainder of 5. That is the Shitas Achirim. That in a leap year situation, if the holiday of Shavuos begins on a it comes out on a Sunday, and the following Shavuos turns out in a leap year, it will be on a Friday. Now, we continue with the Gemara. We have a marking. You notice on the side under the Mivneh heading, the triangle represents Sidra Shel She'elos Be'inyan Bal Tachir. So we have a series of questions regarding the topic, or connected to the topic of Bal Tachir. You'll see three of these triangles by the time you reach the bottom of the Omid. The double underline highlights Rabbi Zera. He is the author of the first two questions. By way of topic, we have a topic heading, Yoresh Mahu Bebal Ta'acher Legabi Nidrei Oviv. That'll be the first question. A Yoresh is a son who inherits his father. So you have the death of a man who happened to have vowed to bring sacrifices. Well, he died before bringing the sacrifices, leaving the animals in his son's possession. So the son is obligated to bring those sacrifices. What about the din of Bal Ta'achir regarding the son? The Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Zera. Yoresh Mahu Bebal Ta'achir. Is a Yoresh, is an heir, subject to the Bal Ta'achir violation if he delays in bringing his father's vows, his father's sacrifices? Two sides of the question. We label this Aleph and then Beis with the O Dilma squiggle underline. Aleph, Ki Sidor Neder, Omar Rachmona, the Posuk in the context of Bal Ta'achir, it's Posuk of Beis, in which the Torah says, Ki sido neder l'Hashem l'kecho lo sa'achir l'shamoi. So, the holo nodar. But the yoresh, the heir, he didn't vow. So one might argue that the violation of lo ta'achir is with respect only to the one who made the vow. He didn't do that. Oy dilma, or uvosa shama vevesem shama, or the Pasuk says that you shall come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring with you sacrifices, v'ha mechayev. And he is obligated in coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and hence he will fall under the requirement of do not delay. The Gemara answers, Toshma, Detoni Rabbi Chiya, Me Imoch. The Pasuk said that word, and we learn from this, Prat Lioresh, to the exclusion of the heir. The Gemara asks, V'ho, V'hai, Me Imoch, but this word, Me Imoch, Miboya Lay is needed for Zed Leket Shikha Upeya. We learned this back on Daf Hey, that the din of Bal Ta'achir applies to these gifts or tithes that are left for the poor. So the word is already used up to teach me that lesson. It's not here then to exclude a Yoresh from Bal Ta'achir. The Gemara answers, Kri Bei Imoch Ukri Bei Me'imoch, meaning emphasis on the mem. So you have the basic word imoch that teaches me the din of leket shechot peah being subject to Bal Ta'achir. The mem is an exclusionary letter, and that will come to exclude the yoresh from being subject to the violation of Bal Ta'achir with regard to his father's vows. Boy, Rabbi Zera. Isha Mahi Bebal Ta'achir, a woman who vowed to bring sacrifices, is she subject to the violation of Bal Ta'achir? Again, two sides of the question. Mi Amrinon Ha Lo Mechaivo Beriya, do we say that a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of appearing in the Beis HaMikdash thrice annually? And since she's not obligated because the pasuk in the context of Re'iyah, the appearance in the Beis HaMikdash, speaks about kol zechurcha, all your males. She's not obligated. Therefore, the holiday standard would have no relevance to her, and it's the holiday, it's the passage of holidays that determines Baal Ta'achir. Oy Dilma, or maybe Ha Isa B'Simcha. The woman is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Now, what is that? That mitzvah states that on the holidays, one is supposed to eat from shlomim sacrifices. So in order for the woman to fulfill her holiday obligation of Simcha, she'll have to appear in the Beis HaMikdash with her korban shlomim. So on the one hand, she's not chayev in Re'iyah, and we might as well add that Re'iyah involves bringing a olas Re'iyah, a korban olas sacrifice. There's also a sacrifice that's known as a korban chagiga. Those, granted, the woman won't be obligated in, but she is obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha, which, as we just said, involves the eating of korban shlomim, which is a sacrifice offered in the Beis HaMikdash and eaten in Jerusalem. So the woman is going to be, she'll be showing up three times a year. So based on that, maybe she is subject to the Isser of Baal Ta'achir, which is holiday based. Amar Lei Abaye. Abaye says to Rabbi Zera, the tapuk lay to ha isa besimcha. Why not conclude your question very simply? Because she is charged with the mitzvah of simcha, which we just said involves the eating of shlomim sacrifices on the holidays. So it's obvious that she is obligated, she'll be bound to the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir. The Gemara asks in wonderment on Abaye, O mi omar Abaye hachi? Would Abaye really have said what he just said? V'omar Abaye, Isha, Bailo Misamcha. The woman doesn't have a Simcha obligation. Simcha, we didn't translate it before, but it has to do with rejoicing. As far as Abaye is concerned, he is on record as saying the woman doesn't have a Simcha obligation. Rather, it's a woman's husband that is obligated to cause her joy and pleasure and enjoyment. And that is accomplished through, as Rashi quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, by providing her with new clothing, in Eretz Yisrael, linen clothing, white pressed linen clothing. That is how the woman experiences Simcha, but it's not an obligation she has. So how can Abaye react to Rabbi Zera with such assurance that of course she's obligated because she herself is obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha, which means korban shlomim eating? The Gemara responds that which Abaye had said to Rabbi Zera, he was really saying something to Rabbi Zera on Rabbi Zera's terms. L'dvorav de Rabbi Zera ka'omar. He was saying what he did according to Rabbi Zera's point of view. Namely, as far as Rabbi Zera sees things, the mitzvah of Simcha is something that is incumbent on the woman herself. Being that that's the case, so then Abaye felt, since you hold that regarding Mitzvah Simcha, you shouldn't even have a question in the first place. And it should be obvious to you, on your terms, that the woman is bound to Baal Ta'achir. Ibayalaho, a new question. This topic involves the law regarding the Bechor. Now, we learned we can use an arrow and move up to the upper part of the page where an arrow appears, and you see it says in that source, Echod Bechor ve'echod kol ha'kotshim, kivon she'ovru ovru aleim shonu b'lo regolim, or regolim b'lo shonu ovru b'baal ta'achir, so that the mitzvah regarding a Bechor is also subject to Baal Ta'achir. Now, based on Psukim, we know that a Bechor is to be given to a Kohen and offered as a sacrifice within its first year of life. As we said, that is based on psukim. The Gemara here asks, from what point do we start the counting of the year? Bearing in mind, of course, that if a year passes and nothing has been done with the Bechor, so there is a Baal Ta'achir problem. So from what point do we start the counting of its year? Abaye Omar, Abaye is the first of two opinions that we will shortly discover there's no argument, but Abaye says Mishal Shenoilad, from the point of birth. Rav Acha Bar Yankiv Omar Mishal Shenire Lahartzah, from the point that it becomes eligible for being offered as a sacrifice. We mentioned this in today's shiur earlier, that an animal cannot be offered as a sacrifice until it reaches its eighth day of life. And yet, velo pligi, we have here Abaye saying from the point it's born, and Rav Acha saying from the point that it's nira lahartzah, and they're not arguing. Ha betam, ha, we're at the top of Dav Zayin, ha bebalmum. It depends. If it's a tam, tam is an unblemished animal, that is fit to be offered. Such an animal's counting of the year begins only from its eighth day of life. Ha bebalmum, that is what Abaye was talking about when he said Mishal Shenolad, from the point that it's born. Imagine it's born with a blemish. So once it's born with a blemish, there's no issue of sacrificing it. Rather, it's slaughtered and eaten by the Kohen as regular meat is concerned. Of course, there are many more details, but when we say regular meat, that's in contrast to a sacrifice. The Gemara asks, Baal Mum, mi motzi ochile? Baal Mum, on the first, as soon as it's born, can you eat it? Maybe it's a, what's called a nafel. Maybe it's an animal, an offspring that isn't going to live. And as a result of that, we know that shechita, slaughtering, does not matir something that is classified as a nafel. The term nafel is often used as in the context of a miscarriage, but it also refers to that kind of newborn that isn't going to make it. And in order to know that it's not a nafel, similar to the halacha we said before about sacrifices, an animal leaves the category of suffix nafel, of being a possible nafel, if it survives 8 days. So, how can Abaye say that you count its year from the point that it's born? We should have mentioned another point of halacha, and that is that a bechor, if it's either is brought as a sacrifice, that's if it's unblemished, must be brought within a year, and we explained already how you count that year. Alternatively, if it is blemished, so it must be eaten. And it must be eaten within a year. And the question now is, how do you count that year? Abaye suggested you start counting it from the point that it's born. But from the point of it's born, it's not eligible to being eaten. And we said that you have a year in which to eat it. So how can you count from the point that it's born? Is it not still a possible nafel? And as such, the shechita, the slaughtering, isn't going to make it suitable for being eaten. The Gemara answers on the second line from the top, the kimle bay shekolu lo chadoshav. He knows with certainty that it's not a nafel. Rather, it's an animal that experienced a full-term pregnancy. Animals that don't experience a full-term pregnancy, just like you have by people, they are they're endangered. But it experienced a full-term pregnancy, and the owner knows that. Therefore, it can be eaten immediately on the day that it's born. It's not in the category of a suffek nafel. And therefore, we can start the counting of its year from the day that it's born. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.